fact that his name means that, I'm going to divide his life up into three sections. The first section of his life, we're going to talk about the sunlight years of dedication. The second period of his life is going to be the twilight years of disobedience. And the third section, the midnight hours of destruction. Yes, when Samson was born, he brought joy and sunlight into that home. They were so thrilled that this child was in their family, and they called him Samson. Do you know there's a tremendous joy when you get saved? Yes, there's joy in the family of God, and the angels in heaven rejoice. And just like Samson, you too should bring light wherever you go. For the Word of God says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Oh, that we might know what it is to let our light shine for Him. Not that we should get the glory, but that God should get the glory. And I like that example of the Apostle Paul, where we read in the book of Galatians, where it says, "And when they had heard that he which had persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, they glorified God in me." They didn't glorify Paul. They glorified the Lord. Oh, that we might let our light shine for the Lord. And we found out that very early in life, Samson, yes, he came to know God in a personal way. Those were those sunlight years of dedication. His parents brought him up in the things of God, and he came to know Jesus, or the Lord God, as his Savior. And we find that he began to shine for him. He started right in his own hometown in that place called Zor, and all the way through Esterol. There's a good example there for us. Because when we get saved, what we need to do is be a witness, first of all, at home. Remember the words of Acts chapter 1 where it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, and then in the uttermost parts of the earth." Oh, wherever we go, we need to let our light shine. But you know, there's many people who put their light under the bushel basket. That bushel basket speaks to us of the commercial world, for that's what they traded with or buy the bushel during those days. But we're not to put our light under a bushel basket. No, wherever we work or wherever we are, we should let our light shine, whether it's at work, whether it's at school or whether it's at home. Do others see Christ in you? Oh, I trust there's enough evidence in your life that they could accuse you of being a born-again believer. But there's many people we find that not only do they hide their light under the bushel basket, we find there are many who hide their light under their bed. That speaks of laziness. And we read that verse tonight where it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Yes, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Oh, I pray that you're not letting your light under the bed, that you will allow your light to shine for Jesus Christ. Well, Samson, he started out in a remarkable way to let his light shine for the Lord. But then we find that he had a very bad ending. Oh, you see, Samson started out well, but the very first step that we find that Samson took after he left his home area was on a downward trend. For the Word of God says he went down to Timnath. And there in Timnath, he found a woman that pleased him well. It wasn't a matter whether she pleased the Lord. No, it was something that pleased himself. And he decided that he wanted this woman. Oh, you see, how sad it was, because Samson, he was living for self. It wasn't a question that Samson didn't know the Lord. He did. He knew God in a personal way, just like many people do. But you see, Samson, he didn't want God to lead his life. He thought he had some good ideas himself of how he should live his life. And so, you see, Samson knew God in a personal way, but he was not willing to make him Lord of his life. Oh, tonight, that we might learn that lesson. That not only do we ask the Lord to save us, but we ask the Lord to be Lord of our life. Let him have control. But Samson, he sat on his throne. He wasn't going to let God rule his life. You see, there's a verse that says this. It says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, you see, we need to be dead to self. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Oh, that we might not live for self. And that we might know what it is to crucify self. But so many people, they want to sit on the throne of their life. And we read those words in the book also where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what the problem is with a living sacrifice? It always wants to crawl off the altar. Oh, that we might know what it is to be dead to self. But you see, when self is on the throne, you leave Christ on the cross. Oh, but what we need to do in our life is let Christ sit on the throne, and we need to have self on the cross. Oh, that we might know what it is to be dead to self and say, here's my life, Lord. Take it. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Oh, I wonder tonight, are you willing to let him be Lord of your life? Well, Samson, oh, he had big ideas of what he wanted. And he went down to Timnath. And we find that that word Timnath means portion. We read in the book of Lamentations where it says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. In the book of Psalms, we read, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Is the Lord your portion? Oh, he went down to Timnath, and down there he found this girl that pleased him well. And so he came back to his parents, and he asked his parents if they would make the arrangements so he could marry her. And the parents said to him, now, Samson, you know very well, God's word makes it clear that as an Israelite, you are not to marry anyone from any other nation. You are just to marry among the Israelites. Just like God's word makes it clear for us, where it says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? But you see, Samson, He insisted that that's what he wanted. And so we find that his parents, they went with him to make the arrangements to marry this girl. Now, there's an interesting verse there where it says that they knew not that the Lord was in it. Now, someone might think that's very contradictory. Oh, not at all, my friends. You see, it doesn't make any difference what you do in life or what I do in life. God is still going to fulfill His purposes. But the great thing is this, that if you will do what God wants you to do, He wants to use you. Oh, that we might be willing to be used of Him. But regardless whether we are used or not, God is still going to fulfill His plans. And so we find that his father and mother went with him down to Timnath to make the arrangements for the wedding. And as they were going down, we read that Samson, he got away from his parents. And lo and behold, what he did as they were approaching Timnath, Samson, he went into the vineyards of Timnath. Now he had no business going into the vineyards of Timnath. You see, he was a Nazarite. He was not to have anything from the vine or drink any strong drink, and he was not allowed to eat any unclean thing. But Samson got away from his parents, and there he goes down into these vineyards. We read that verse in Proverbs where it says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." And then also we read these words in that same chapter, chapter 4 of Proverbs. "Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn from it and pass away." Oh, we need to do that. But Samson, no. He went into these vineyards. And when he got into the vineyards, lo and behold, there was a lion that roared against him. And this lion that came out and roared against him, why, Samson called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened him, and he was able to kill the lion. Exactly how he did that, I don't know. For the Bible doesn't tell us. But you see, David, when he killed the lion, what he did is he grabbed the lion by the beard and he pulled and he pulled and he pulled till he killed the lion. Some people think that what Samson did is that he took the lion by his hind legs and just split him right up the middle. I don't know how he killed the lion, but he killed the lion that day. Oh, you see, we read that verse tonight from Amos chapter 3 and verse 8 where it says, "The lion hath roared. Who will not fear?" We read also in the book of Peter where it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Oh, that lion is a picture of Satan, all right. And Satan is out there to get you. But you know, most people that are believers, that know Jesus Christ as Savior, they can conquer the roar of the lion. When Satan comes out and asks you to do an out-and-out blatant sin, most people can conquer that. Not all, but most. But you see, when he killed that lion, and he went back with his mother and father, he didn't tell his mom and dad. Well, you wouldn't either. You see, you wouldn't tell someone spiritual that you were messing around where you shouldn't have been. Oh, no. He never said a word about it. And so they went down to Timnath. And when they got down to Timnath, it was there. Yes, they made the arrangements for the wedding. Well, after the arrangements were made, they went back to Zoar, where they lived. It was about 14 miles away from Jerusalem. And on the time appointed, lo and behold, they went back for the wedding. Well, when they went back for the wedding day, and they were going to have a feast that would last for 7 days, once again, Samson got away from his mom and dad. And he went right back to the vineyard. Now, he had no business going into that vineyard. The Word of God says this, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and spirit, and faith, charity, and love with them that call unto the Lord out of a pure heart." You see, but he went right back into the vineyard, and this time when he went into the vineyard, he didn't find the lion. He found the carcass of the lion. Oh, that lion was dead, but Satan wasn't dead. And when he got into the vineyard and saw the carcass, why, there was a hive of bees. And inside the carcass, there was honey in the carcass. So what Samson did is he put his hands into the carcass and took out some of the honey. It was good to his taste. So he put his hand in again to get some more. And he went to take it to his mother and father. But when he gave it to them, he didn't tell them where he got it from. Of course he wouldn't. But oh, listen. What's the application, fellows and girls and men and women, for us? You see, if Satan can't get you with the roar of the lion, he'll get you with the sweet bit. Oh, how many people fall into sin when Satan sugarcoats it, and it seems so good. Oftentimes, you know, I find people who say to me, "What's the matter with this?" or "What's the matter with that?" or "What's the matter with the other thing?" That's not the question to be asking. The question to be asking is, what's right with it? Would God be pleased? Oh, you see, that should always be our question. What's right with it? This honey came from the filthy, dirty carcass of the lion that speaks of Satan. And he took it, and he went to his mother and father. Oh, both times God was with him and tried to warn him. But he didn't listen to the warning. We hear those words again from Peter where it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from all lust of the flesh." You see, but he went right on down to Timnath. He was going to do it his way. Not God's way. He was going to do his own thing and go right down and get married to this woman. We also read where it says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust of the flesh." Yes. But you see, he wasn't following the Lord. He was running his life. So they get down to Timnath, see, and when he's down there, he's given some companions, 30 of them, if you will, for the wedding. Now, remember what the angel of the Lord said? Made a prophetic statement. When the angel of the Lord said to the woman, before Samson was born, "Behold, he shall begin to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the enemy." And that's all he did, is just begin. How can you deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the enemy when you're taking them all on your side? And Samson, of course, he had big troubles keeping secrets. We're going to find that out in his life as we continue. You see, oh, he had a big problem. And he said to these 30 companions that he had, "I tell you what, fellas, I'll give you a riddle. And if at the end of the 7 days of this feast, if you can answer my riddle, I'll give each one of you guys a sheet and a garment. However, if you can't answer the riddle, each one of you will give me a sheet and a garment. And they said to him, lay it on us, man. We'll go for the riddle. And so the riddle was this. Out of the eater came forth meat. And out of the strong came forth sweetness. Well, you see, they thought about that riddle. And for 3 days, they couldn't come up with anything. They couldn't think of anything that it possibly could mean. So finally, they came to Samson's wife, and they said to her, look it, you find out the answer to that riddle, and if you don't, we are going to burn you and your father to death and burn your houses to the ground. Now get the riddle! Well, it was supposed to be a very happy time, but she kept crying. All the time she cried. She said, oh, Samson, you tell me that you love me, but you don't tell me the riddle. Well, honey, I haven't even told my father and mother the riddle. Samson, you're not marrying your father or mother. You're marrying me. But Samson, he didn't want to tell her the riddle. But you see, Samson, who could conquer a lion with the roar, he couldn't handle a weeping woman. And she kept weeping day after day. And so finally, Samson told the riddle. So right away, she went to the men and she said to the men, what is stronger than a lion? And what is sweeter than honey? That's the answer to the riddle. And when they came to Samson, Samson was so mad when they told him the answer. For he said, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you would have never found out the answer to the riddle. Now wait a minute. Who was plowing where? It was Samson, who was plowing where he didn't belong. And if he had never been in the vineyard, he would have never had that riddle to begin with. But Samson was true to his word. And he left the wedding feast. And he went to a place called Ashkelon. And there in Ashkelon, he killed 30 Philistines. And he stripped them of their garments and of their sheets. Now the sheet, that is the inside garment that they wore. The garment speaks of the outside clothing that they wore. And so when he stripped them of it, he went back to his companions and he said, here, take them. And all he did was give them another Philistine garment. Oh, how sad it was. You know, we read in the book of Isaiah where it says, I will rejoice in the Lord. For the Lord hath clothed me with the garment of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness. But all he did was just give him another Philistine garment. He didn't talk to him about the Lord. Oh, you know, so many times that's the way it is with people. They don't talk about the Lord and tell them how that they need to have that garment of salvation. And I want to tell you tonight, fellows and girls and men and women, you need it. You see, if you're not clothed with the garment of salvation, you're not ready for heaven. You're not fit to go to heaven if you've never received Christ as Savior. Oh, what a wonderful thing he wants to do for us. And that's exactly what we're to tell, is how that an individual can get saved and know that they have eternal life. Our garments are all like filthy rags. Because every one of us have sinned. We have done something that's wrong. And what we deserve is to go to hell. But the Lord Jesus, what He wants to do? He wants to dress us up and make us fit for heaven. Well, Samson didn't talk to them about the Lord. Samson gave them Philistine garments, and then he took off and he went back home. Now, I really don't know whether the marriage was consummated or not, but Samson, while he was gone, the father of the bride, what he decided to do was to marry her to one of Samson's companions. And so that took place, and Samson, when he was back home, he began to settle down a little bit. And Samson decided that what he was going to do is he was going back to make things right with his wife. So he was going to bring a present. And what he decided to bring was a goat. Now, it's not quite the thing for men to bring a goat home today. But back then, it was all right. And when he came in with this goat and the father saw him coming, the father said, "Samson, I thought you never wanted to see her again. So I let her get married to one of your companions. But don't you worry about that, Samson. She's got a younger sister. Oh, and she's prettier. You'll like her, Samson." Ooh, Samson was so mad when Samson found out what his father-in-law had done to him. Samson went out in a rage. And what he did is he caught 300 foxes. He had no business catching foxes. Foxes are unclean animals. And he caught these foxes, and when he caught them, what he did is he tied their tails together. And then, after he tied them up in pairs, he went and put torches there where he tied them. And then, what Samson did next, is he went and put them on fire. And he let them go. Oh, let me tell you, wherever these foxes went, it was terrible. They burnt up everything. Why, they burnt up? Oh, they burned up the wheat fields. They burnt up the vineyards. They burnt up the olive trees. They burned up everything. Yes, they destroyed it all. It was exactly what God said not to do. God said to the children of Israel, "When you come into the land, destroy the enemy, and I will give you houses that you haven't built. I'll give you vineyards that you haven't planted. I'll give you wheat fields. I'll give you olive trees. I'll give you all this. Just drive out the enemy." Samson, did it the exact opposite. He didn't drive out any of the enemy. What he did is destroy everything that God wanted to give them. The wheat fields were the food supply. The vineyards speak of the joy, as I told you last week, how wine speaks of joy in the Word of God. And the olive trees, well, that speaks of power. He destroyed all of that. But he let the Philistines live. Oh, let me tell you, when the Philistines saw what had happened, they said one to another, "Who's done this?" And they said, "It's Samson. Samson did it because of what his father-in-law did to him." And so what they did is they went to the home of the father-in-law and they burned that home to the ground with the father-in-law in it. And they also burned the house of Samson's wife. And she died in the fire as well. Oh, listen. They went into eternity, just like you will do if you die. You see, your time on this earth, you never know when it's going to be up. But after it's up, and you're finished on this earth, you have to spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And you know, I don't believe that Samson told her about the Lord. or told his father-in-law about the Lord. And so forever and ever, they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire, the place called hell. You see, the Word of God says, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Oh, I wonder tonight, if you was to die, where will you spend eternity? Will you go to heaven? Or will it be hell? Oh, if you're not sure about that, you talk to me or someone else here, and I'll show you how you can know that for sure you can be on your way to heaven. Well, tonight, we read about those foxes. Why, we read that verse in Song of Solomon where it says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You know, it's the little foxes that come in amongst us that cause lots of trouble. It could be that little fox of envy. You know, there's some people who are always envious, and you can always tell who they are because they emphasize everything with but. Oh, that was a great meal that she put on, but. Or that was a great job that he did, but. Oh, listen, they're envious. And it's a little fox that causes troubles. Oh, it can cause troubles in any group right here at the chapel. Or that little fox could be that little fox of selfishness. I always remember that little poem that I learned years ago where it says, I had a little tea party the other day at 3. 'Twas very small. 3 guests in all. Just I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches, while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. Oh, you know, there's lots of people who are so selfish. And if you've got a selfish person, it's a little fox that will spoil all the vines, the fruit, and the group. Or it could be that little fox of anger. Oh, some people get hot. Oh, the Word of God says to be angry and sin not. But we need to keep our anger under control. But anger is a little fox that spoils the fruit in any group. But then we could talk about the little fox of pride. Oh, some people are so proud in life. You know, they're so proud of all that they do and how sad that is. And a proud person, too, will spoil the fruit. Or we could use the little fox of lying. Oh, there's lots of foxes I could put up here. Lots of foxes that you know about, too, that comes into the group and spoils the fruit that should be for the Lord. Oh, how sad it is that Samson had to do with the foxes. Just little things. But all the damage they cause reminds me also of the book of James where it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue in our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Oh, it's just a little thing. But oh, the tongue can do lots of damage. And when Samson found out what they had done to his wife and to his father-in-law, he was so angry that the Word of God tells us that he went out and he had a great slaughter among the Philistines. It was after that we come to a bright spot in Samson's life. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, it's the brightest spot in his whole life. For there, Samson, he went to the rock called Edom, and he got alone with God. Oh, listen, that's what he needed to do, was to get alone with God. You see, it doesn't make any difference who we are. Troubles will come. For as the book of Job tells us, we are born unto troubles as the sparks fly upward. Yes, Samson had all kinds of troubles. But finally, he went to the rock. I like that verse in Psalms 18 where it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." It says in Psalms 27, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Psalms 31 in verse 3 says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." And then we read in Psalm 61 how it begins, "Hear my prayer, O God." Pardon me. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." Then there's that Psalm 71 where it says in verse 3, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. For thou hast given commandment to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress." Oh, listen, troubles will come, just like they did in the time of Samson. But you see, Samson, he went to the rock called Edom. Now, you won't see it here in this picture because it's really small. But right up here in the cleft of the rock is two little birds. You see, the storm is all around, but those little birds are able to sing because they're in the cleft of the rock. Oh, the troubles will come, but we need to turn to the Lord, who is our refuge, our strength in time of trouble. I like the thought where it says that the Lord is my rock. He's my strength. Yes, there's strength in the rock. There's shelter in the rock. There's safety in the rock. There's sweetness in the rock. There's stability in the rock. There's everything in the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, tonight, I wonder if you really know what it is to be in the rock. Do you know Christ is your Savior? And that you can say, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress"? And if you do, then you ought to say, as that verse I quoted, "Then for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Every eye closed and head bowed. Again, Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, how we just thank you that you're available for us, that you are our rock, the one that we find strength, the one who has given us shelter and satisfaction. You've given us all these things. And I pray, Lord, particularly for the individuals in this room who really don't know Christ as Savior, that they might know what it is to know you in a personal way. So, Lord, if there's someone here that's convicted about that, give them courage to stay behind so that we can talk with them and pray with them and show them how they can know for sure that their sins are forgiven. Be with us now as we separate, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.